I was thinking about, you know, Jesus and how... Let me know that before Jesus there was a man, his name was John. Who was John? John the Methodist?
John the Pentecostal.
Yeah. So John was what?
He was a baptized guy.
He was a baptized guy. Yes, he was. He sure was. And he was also a forerunner for the Christ to come and proclaiming the word that there would be a Messiah and he would come. How do you know the story of when Elizabeth and Mary, who's Mary? Who was Mary?
Jesus' mother.
When she went to Elizabeth, who was Elizabeth?
John's mother.
Right. So she went to her, and these kids, I don't even know. She's awesome. Y'all want to sit on the front row? Great. So, how many know that John, even in his mother's womb, when Mary told Elizabeth that she was pregnant, what happened? What? Somebody else said something? He was in shock, yeah. Absolutely. Somebody else said something.
He did a somersault.
He did a flip? Yeah, I guess he probably did. But he leaped in her womb, it
actually,
said.
Actually, before Mary even said, Mary just walked up.
She just walked up.
Knew the baby recognized Jesus. Didn't
That's
know.
Right. And so the Spirit... How many know the Spirit recognizes Spirit?
Yes.
So, today's all about identifying with Christ. And baptism is that one thing. Identifying with Christ. And the old nature, what? Dies. It has to die. And we're raised to what? Being a new creation in Christ.
Yes.
That's what baptism... It's like the water's what? Like the representation of what?
The blood.
And then you're under the blood. And you're what?
You're raised
to the newness of life. Isn't that awesome? And so baptism is really an important part of identifying with Christ. But in Matthew 3 over there, there's a story a little bit about what we were... I was talking about John the Baptist. And he was preaching... And at first he said, now in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What was he meaning, the kingdom of heaven?
God.
That's right. The kingdom, in a way, is the kingdom of heaven is what? Was Jesus, right? He was coming on the scene. The kingdom of heaven. And to have a kingdom, you got to have a king, right? So he was... First of all, we have to repent of our sins, right? And so he's preaching for the remission of sin and repent. And in repentance. Can you imagine, John, all of a sudden now, so many years later, he hadn't seen Jesus... You know, and he's heard Jesus, and they're all in the similar little, I wouldn't say towns, but little villages. And then all of a sudden, here comes Jesus with his sandals and stuff like mine. I don't know, maybe they wouldn't like mine. Come down the hill there. And, now these are like generic frogs or whatever you call them. And then here comes Jesus down the hill. Can you imagine? He probably leaped in his little bit of, woo, right? I mean, he knew who he was how. Even if he hadn't saw him, by the Spirit, right? So the Spirit, to me, I got a vision of that, you know, when I started thinking about this. And so it goes on down in 13 and 17. We'll flip down there. And it also it says he's the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make ready the way of the Lord. That was his whole message, John the Baptist. And in 13 it says, then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him. Wonder why he did that. Boy, it got quiet. Mm-hmm. There ain't no right or wrong answer. Just want to challenge your mind.
He was unworthy to baptize the Lord.
Mm. Can you imagine, you know who Jesus is, and then all of a sudden, I need you to baptize me, Daniel. I need you to baptize me. Would that be humbling? Would that really be, I mean, it just amazing? Yeah. And it goes on down, it says in, I have need to baptize you, and do you come to me? And then, but Jesus answered and said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him, it said. And after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And behold, a voice out of heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. John the Baptist was calling people to repentance, to change their lives, because the kingdom of God was near, as it says in 3. And it must have been fantastic, I don't know, event to witness even. You can imagine, think about a Billy Graham crusade or something. You know, that's what, because John the Baptist, they say, he was an excitable preacher, you know. What was it he ate? Everybody know what John ate? Locusts and honey. That's a strange cat, ain't it? People, you know, hear it all around. He's this guy. He's a wild looking man. He's preaching and repent and whatnot. But all he eats is locusts and honey and grasshoppers. That's what locusts really are, right? Well, there's a meal, right? That's what we're eating today. That's what I was going to tell you about. A meal. But really, I mean, think about that scene. And then, you know, so it must have been a fantastic event, you know. And so in the 50s and 60s, Billy Graham's crusades were huge like that. And the Spirit of God was really strong. And a lot of people got saved, and they still are through Billy Graham's ministry all over the world, and now his son Franklin Graham. And so there's a need still for that preaching. We don't hear it enough. We don't have enough of in your face repent. Come on in, guys. Come on in. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We got a couple of cheers over here. Pull up a cup. And hey, amen. So, you know, our ministry is not really about a feel good. This is just, you know, we are what we are at Ministry House. And we've had people come and go, but we want to stay focused on the one thing above all. This is a heart thing. You know, our life needs to focus around God and God alone, not about a big old building or, you know, how much money we can get out of y'all. Matter of fact, did you get that big offering hat? We won't pass that around here a little bit. But no, I'm just kidding. But the fact of the matter is, we need to hear the truth. Because what? The truth is what sets us free. Mm-hmm. You know, the truth is what moves us into a place where we get out of the flesh and we actually begin to start hearing the Spirit. And just like Jesus, do you think Jesus had to be baptized?
No.
No. Jesus didn't have to be baptized, did he?
Yep.
But he wanted to be baptized. Why?
New starts. Fresh start.
Well, he knew no sin.
He was 100% man, though.
But he's 100% man.
He wanted us to follow his
example. There you go. Yeah. Sets an example.
Good. He had to set the example. He had. That's why, if we read there, why, you know, he said, he heard the voice from heaven, and behold, a voice out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So God spoke from on high. I am pleased. You know, he had to fulfill every prophetic word also, that from the old covenant, from all the way through. And so Jesus had to do certain things in his life to fulfill everything that we have to go through. You know, everything that we have to go through, so that he could identify with every one of us. God wants to identify with us now through what? The Holy Spirit. That's why it said that the Holy Spirit come upon him and it descended on him like a dove. That's just an analogy probably. I don't think it was, I don't know, it could have been a dove. But it was the fact that the Holy Spirit, what did the Holy Spirit, how did God, man and God before Jesus, how did they connect? How, through the Holy Spirit?
Through a priest.
Okay, and through what else? It come upon them, right? I mean, it wasn't in them, right? The Holy Spirit is not he. I need to reword that, because it is a He, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But in that time, the Holy Spirit, what? It come upon man. But now, all of a sudden, here's Jesus on the scene. He had to fulfill everything, every prophetic thing that had to be fulfilled. And he was the starter of what to come. And now, the Holy Spirit comes in what? It come inside to live. He come inside to live inside of man. And through that baptism, when he, the old Jesus, just like all of us, he identified with him, right? Buried in the liquid grave, raised to a newness of life, and then the Holy Spirit. Now, get that revelation, because that's what baptism means. Baptism is very special, and it's an outward expression. So, you know, John, he must have known that, talking with Jesus, because Jesus comes and asking him in 13, he says, John is shocked. He's really shocked. I can only imagine, you know, what John went through there. But the Lord of the universe is coming to our house. The Creator of heaven and earth wants to meet you and I. He wants to be King of kings and Lord of lords in our life. And the only way that can happen is through the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
And through the Holy Spirit now, we have an advocate with the Father. And he becomes the counselor. He becomes the one that talks to us and says, Ronnie, you know not to go there. You shouldn't do that. You know better. And as believers in Christ, if we believe in, it says, for whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the part we get salvation. But it also talks about confessing with our mouth. We begin to confess Jesus as our Lord, but we become like a babe in Christ. And a baby has to do what to survive?
Eat.
He has to eat. He has to drink, right?
Sleep.
Sleep, yeah. Sure does. All these things. So what happens to us now that we become born again? The next step is connecting with the body of Christ. So baptism has a lot to do with that also. And the Baptists in certain denominations believe you, that's part of joining the church, okay? And when you get saved, then you get baptized, and then your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Baptists. I don't know, something like that. You're written in there. But trust me, it's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the most important thing. It's not about a denomination. It's not about how your sandals look or your tattoos or my beautiful shorts or anything about it. It's all about being in relationship with Christ. Amen. And it's all about being in communion with Him. And when we bury that old person, we're raised to a newness of life, things begin to change in your life. You begin to say, okay, now I'm identifying with Christ. What do I do next? Jesus become, He humbled Himself as a servant. It's that servant mentality that is missing in the body of Christ right now. We think sometimes that, well, it's all about going to church. I'm going to go to church when I do this or when I do that. No, it's not about that. It says our righteousness is like filthy rags to God. It's not how good you are.
That's right.
It's if you're in right standing. Righteousness is being in right standing with God. And so it's a heart thing. So now, even remember back when Jesus submitted, after He submitted with the baptism, He identified. But also remember over Isaiah 42:1, it said, in which God says, "Here's my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight." That's awesome. See, that was what Jesus, see the metaphor in which it comes from Old Testament to New. God is delighted in the fact that you want to go one step further.
Come on.
He's delighted in the fact that you don't want to just be saved to get you out of hell. He's delighted in the fact that you want to start serving Him. He's delighted in the fact that you're willing to say, you know, I don't feel like it today, boy. I tweaked my back a little bit last night over the track when I was getting out of the car. I think I'll just lay out today. No, God wants you to press on through that. You know, I got a little bit of sickness or something. I want to stay home. Well, the devil's a liar. He wants you to tell you you're better off just stay home, rest, and all that. No, there's probably a word you need to hear.
Yeah.
All right? Now, our flesh gets in the way more than the devil. We give him too much credit. Most of the time, it's our flesh. Paul said in Romans 7:7, why'd I do these things I know I shouldn't do, and I don't want to do them, but I keep doing them? Because we still got a flesh nature, don't we?
Yeah.
We learn this in CR all the time. We say we're on the road to recovery because we're always changing. But we should be changing in the image of Christ. And so I was reminded also of Jesus. When it come time and He was getting ready to have to go to the cross, and His disciples, they were having the Lord's Supper and all. And all of a sudden, I'm paraphrasing, but He's like, get the wash tub. And He goes over and drops down at His disciples' feet and begins to wash their feet. Can you imagine the humility, the thing of knowing that here is God Almighty, Jesus, washing your feet? Is that identifying with man? Is that love?
Yes.
Oh, stinky, dirty feet. Just come off the road to Damascus, probably old sandals, stinky, dirty feet. He's washed their feet. And they were the same way as John the Baptist. No, Lord, He had to. He wanted to. He wanted to show everybody that He was as much a servant as He was a king. He's an awesome God. He loves everyone in this room so much that He died on a cross. He laid His life down willingly for you and I, for all our sins, because He knew we were dying and going to hell. People don't want to mention that. Well, we use the hell word. Listen, we need to hear it more. We need to hear repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But the fact is, Are you going to accept him? Do you want to be a part of the kingdom? Because in the kingdom is freedom. Like the song we were saying, there is freedom in there. No matter what you're going through, no matter how much trials and tribulation you're going through, greater he that is in me that is in this world. And the stronger you get like a baby in Christ, and you begin to get that food like these little kids said, you begin to grow, and you begin to grow stronger in him, and you begin to know that, hey, nothing formed against me is going to prosper. I'm going to stand, even though I don't feel like it. I just want to sit down and cry. But guess what? I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to face adversity, and I'm going to say, Lord, I know you're going with me through it all. I need you right now. It says when we're weak, he is made what? Strong. You know, when we can't do it on our own, he does it. It's like the footprints in the sand. You wonder where he is. I mean, he's been there maybe this week. You say, where are you, Lord? I don't know. I can't feel your presence. I don't know where you're at. Everything's gone crazy. But Lord says, I'm going to carry you through that. Just let me carry you through that. Trust me with it. Have faith. Because Paul, in the end of his ministry, told his disciple Timothy, there's the last things he told him, from out of jail. Most of Paul's ministry, his life was, he was writing these epistles and things from jail. How many of us think if we went to jail we could be that strong? I don't know, man. If you really get down to it, are we really serving the Lord like that, in that type of humility? But Paul told Timothy, he says, I've run the race. I love it. Race. It's a great race. Mm-hmm. Fought the battle. Won the battle. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Yes. This is a battle. I talked to Alton this week and I said, Alton, this is a battle. If it was easy, everybody would do it. We'd have a world and everybody just, praise the Lord, it's good. God don't need all that. He don't need all that. Oh, praise the Lord, don't you? That's okay if you say praise the Lord, but God's sick and tired of religion, okay? Religion will send you to hell quicker than anything. You can't get religion, you got to get Jesus. And then you got to believe the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and you got to begin to start recognizing His voice when He's saying, don't go there, go there. I made this path, don't go down that path. That'll lead you, that'll get you in trouble. Trust me with this. You start identifying with Christ. You start growing. And you're no longer a baby. You start getting hungry for meat. You start getting in that Word, and it becomes alive to you. It starts becoming something you can't live without. It ain't something that you just blow the dust off every week. And then or a month, or three times a year, Christmas, Easter, whatever, it becomes your life. And it becomes something you can't live without. I can't live without this. I can't live without the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, I remember after God delivered me from the drugs and the lifestyle I was in, most of you know my testimony, I sat in there alone in this house, and I'll never forget reaching, crying out to God and said, make yourself real to me, Lord. I've heard about you all my life, but I want to know you. I want to know you just like I know my daddy, my blood father. He started becoming so alive and real to me. I opened up this Word, like I never understood that there was a difference. I thought it was only King James. You went to hell if you didn't have King James. King James. I'm like, why did all that bust thousand and these and what are names? I opened it up and it became alive to me, and it started becoming Rhema Word. Not just logos. Rhema words. something that gets inside of you and it comes through the Holy Spirit. The Logos is on the page, but it comes alive and it becomes, I'm like, man, this is good stuff. Nobody never told me this. Mm-hmm. Nobody never told me this. In 1972, I received Christ as my Savior in a little Baptist church right down the road here, Hopewell Baptist. And as a kid, about their age, I don't know what, like 9 years old. And in Vacation Bible School, how many went there when they was a kid? It's good stuff. Awanas, they got good programs and stuff. But what they didn't have was discipleship. I was a young kid. I didn't know what it meant to have not only a Savior, but a Lord. So I just went to church and went through, you know, normal stuff. And then, but it wasn't enough. How many know that you got to have it all? Like I told God, and I said, I got to have it all. I got visited from some of my buddies from down there. A good friend of mine, Stanley Bond, and another brother come. He said, they were concerned about me. My grandmother, she was concerned about me because she knowed I'd had an experience, but, you know, and I'd got off the drugs and everything, but she was wanting me in church. But when they come to visit me, I started sharing stuff, and they're so like, wow. I said, it ain't me. This is God. This is the Holy Spirit. Because I never was no great speaker. I was like Moses. I stumbled around. I'm just no country boy. And I don't pretend to try to say that I know everything. I don't. But I know one that does. And I know that He is greater than anything I can say or do. Amen. In here today. And if you'll reach out to Him, He'll change your life. Yes. 20 years I'll be celebrating this July sobriety and giving God all the praise. I can't do it without Him. I can't. I'd be back in the same predicament I was in. But every day in this is a good day. And every day in this, I'm stronger. I grow stronger. I can face any situation in my life, right, Ashley? We can begin to say that, you know, well, I don't feel like it today, but it ain't about feelings.
Come on.
And it ain't about emotions. I'm a little emotional today because this is a special day, but I'm telling you, it's all about Him, and it's all about the power of from on high, and you and I can all have it. Jesus told His disciples, He knew He was going to the cross. He said, go and tarry and wait for what? The Holy Spirit. They walked with Jesus and it wasn't enough.
Oh, that's good.
They walked with Jesus and it wasn't enough. You can walk with Jesus and it not be enough, guys. You can say, Jesus is my Savior, but it ain't enough.
Come on.
You can. It says the devils even know and tremble. What is enough is the Holy Spirit. And that's the only way we have enough strength to live this out.
Yes.
It's not preached enough. It's not taught enough. And if we don't share it with others, I'm afraid there's going to be a lot when it comes that day of judgment that they're going to separate onto this side instead of the right side. And there will be one today that we'll all give an account. Now, in closing, I just want to say this. I was baptized in that lake that year, 1972. It's something you never forget. Identifying with Christ in that way. But it's not going to get you to heaven. Right? Let me know that. Some of the denominations say, you got to be baptized. You don't got to be baptized. You want to be baptized. You want to be baptized. It's just like you want to go to church. Church is not, we put church in this like a big old building. Church is you. Okay? But you also, don't want to forsake the assembling together. There's something about power in numbers. There's something about lifting each other up. And it says that, give me the scripture, Penny. One can do this, two can do
Ecclesiastes
7.
If one is no good, if one, a man falls down, he two, and he can pick him up, but a three-strand cord
is not easily broken. Absolutely. There's power in numbers. That means you got like a cord. You get one cord, you can pop it, right?
Yep.
So remember this. That's why we do this. It's why we assemble together. A lot of this is today is kind of open and free, and I don't want, you know, to go any further. But I believe that God wants to, us to take a deeper place into His service. And one of the things is like we see Jesus that He that involves going down the social ladder. I wrote down mixing with undesirables, washing feet instead of having our feet washed, identifying with ordinary people. Got any ordinary people in here? Mm-hmm. Or am I in the wrong place today? I didn't see no hands go up. Come on, ordinary. Okay, all right. You're ordinary, but you're special.
Yes.
Everybody in here, God knows you. It says before the foundation of this world, before you were even in your mother's womb, just as John the Baptist knew Jesus in his mother's womb, you're special in God's eyes and in mine too. And we'll thank you for coming today. We're going to get cooking in a minute. We're going to get the baptism done. But I never want to take time to move forward. We don't have agendas, okay? This is all about what do you need today from God? What do you need today from God in your life, in your children's life, in your soon-to-be children's life? I don't know about y'all. I want my grandson to grow up better than I did.
Yeah.
He's 1 year old now. I pray over him every week. I watch him. I'm laying hands on him. I'm praying blessings over him like he did in the Old Testament. This stuff's real. You better believe it. If you don't believe that, then you just well give up. I'm telling you, it's real. When you pray to God, He'll move the clouds.
Yes.
He'll move the rain.
Yes.
He can give you rain or He can take it away. The Lord giveth and the Lord can take away. But you got to have faith. You got to have trust. And just like you sat down in that chair, you didn't go over and check your legs. Of course, you might have. Some of them's pretty old. We cleaned them off for you.
Well, thank you.
But did you now? You just sat down and it don't, didn't. Yeah. That's faith. That's the way we do with God. We got to just trust Him and have faith. Just sat down and say, okay, Lord, I don't see you. I hear about you. I'm going to just ask you to save me. Mm-hmm. Just by faith. I'm going to trust you. Mm-hmm. And then guess what? He steps on me and says, that's what I've been waiting for. That's what I've been waiting for, Chad. Man, it don't matter if it's took 20 years, 40, 30. I prayed with a man one time. He was 86 years old. Went there to visit his wife. They got mad at me because I asked him how he was. Daddy's all right now, his daughter said. Daddy, when he went to church, Daddy did this, and a deacon, and a tear rolled out of his eyes. I said, are you all right with God? Is your heart good? You know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? He said, dropped his head and said, son, I don't know if I do or not. Mm-hmm. I said, my God, he's been going to church off and on for 50 years and nobody ever asked him, do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? His wife kept shut up and his daughter, they got quiet. And I said, well, you can today. I said, you can know Jesus right now. I said, you just open your heart up and ask him to come in, save you. Become born again, as it says. John 3:3. He accepted Jesus. And you talking about a happy man. Guess what? 3 months later, I preached his funeral. I'm telling you, you don't know what God's going to do. You don't know what today or tomorrow hold or whatever. But you can know that you know that you know for certain you don't fear death. Mm-hmm. You walk through them shadows and valleys of death, and you don't fear no man. You don't fear what's going on. You just know that, hey, if I leave this world, I'm better off.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I hold on to. Yeah. That's my faith. I ain't got a seed. But once you invite him in, he comes in your heart. Things change if it's real. If the fruit ain't growing on. There's something you better check yourself. I'm serious. Because as a child, I believed in Jesus, but I didn't have a Lord. When you got a Lord, he says, that ain't right. You know it, right? It ain't no self thing no more. All right, well, let's pray. Before we pray, I want you to just get honest before the Lord, not me. I'm just a paper boy. I just want you to ask yourself right now, are you ready for that day to come? Like the old man asked that question, is Jesus your Lord and Savior? If he's not, it's as simple. We repent of our sins like John preached. Mm-hmm. We place our faith in him as Savior, and let him become our Lord. Surrender to him as Lord. And that's the simple steps. Invite him into your heart. If that's you today, I want you to just raise your hand and acknowledge, say, I need the Lord today. I want to receive him as Lord. And you don't have to, but you know, even God knows. But sometimes it's important. It says, confess him with our mouth. That's telling somebody. Afterwards, when we pray this prayer, you might come up and say, hey, guess what? I prayed that prayer and I got saved today. That's fine. But you need to confess him as Lord and Savior. That's why it says in Romans 10. So pray this with me. Dear Lord, I recognize I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. Now I want to place my faith in you. I'm tired of doing it my way. I want to do it your way. By faith I receive you. And I surrender to you as Lord. And your word tells me that I'm saved. And you've written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Give God some praise.